Good morning, Valley Brook. It is so good to see you all. Good to be here this morning. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to share a word with you today. And by the grace of God, He will have something for you. And so why don't you take a moment to stand up, greet your neighbor, and then we'll come back together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your purposes, your plans, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we just thank you that you have great things in store for us as we put our trust in you. Lord, I commit this time into your hands. I ask that you guide by your Spirit. Lord, help me to be out of the way so you can accomplish what you desire to accomplish. And thank you for each person who was able to come today, each person who has tuned in. I pray that you would use each word that's spoken, Lord, to meet a need. And we commit our time into your hands, and we give you thanks, give you praise, give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm so thankful for the opportunity just to share a word with you today. And I want to thank Pastor Dan and thank the elders for the opportunity to share a word. And I know that not every church will afford you that opportunity. You know, sometimes the pastors are kind of tight with the opportunity for somebody else to speak other than themselves. But praise God for Pastor Dan that he gives us the opportunity to share our story, to share our testimony. And amen. So, but I have to say, I've been walking with the Lord and have been in partnership with Pastor Dan and a lot of you for untold years. You know, we first met when I lived in Ohio, he lived in Michigan, and we were both part of sister churches, and we had opportunity to meet with one another and to fellowship with one another. And so I actually knew Pastor Dan before he became a pastor. And but I will say this, even during those times before he became a pastor, he was pastor-esque. He was doing the things that a pastor does even back then. And so God just confirmed what he was doing and gave him the opportunity to lead us and to lead others as a pastor. So so I just want to mention that, you know, the title of my message today is Faith. What are you believing? And so at some point last month, I thought about the pastor and the fact that he was going to be on vacation this month. And I thought, I might be asked to speak. And so I thought, well, Lord, if I do get to speak, what would be a good subject to talk about? You know, and at the time I was thinking, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm going through like any major life lessons right now. And then the thought came to me very clearly, faith. And I thought, well, that's a good subject. And I said, I can speak about that. And so I thought, well, I'll make that my topic and I'll speak on that subject. And so as you can see, I was asked. And here I am today with the opportunity just to talk a little bit about that subject. And as I began to prepare for the message, I realized that faith is a very large subject with many different aspects that can be talked about. And it occurred to me that I needed to narrow it down to exactly what I was going to talk about. So I chose a few areas that I wanted to focus on. And the first area is just talking about being in the faith and knowing we have a relationship with God. You know, in the scriptures it talks about that as far as being in the faith. And many times, you know, it mentions that. And so that's one of the focuses that I want to talk about. And then the second is talking about walking and growing in faith. And those two, to me, go hand in hand. They go together. And so if you're doing one, you're doing the other. And so the main idea that I have is faith is your blessing from God so you can live your best life. So, you know, for those who might be taking notes, faith is your blessing from God so that you can live your best life. So let's take a look at how faith is described in the Bible. And some of you can probably remember back to the 70s, and others of you were just a gleam in someone's eye at that point, but I lived through the 70s, and back during the 70s, there was a saying among teens and young adults that when you were leaving after you had spent some time together and you're getting ready to go your separate ways, they would always say, "Keep the faith." And it was a really catchy saying, you know. You get ready to leave and someone would say, "Okay, well, take care, brother. Keep the faith." And I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I thought it meant that, you know, you need to not give up when things get tough and to keep pressing forward for the things that you want in life. And it was a good thought, but not exactly God's idea of faith. So in the New American Standard Bible, faith is described in this way, and actually in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence or the substance of things not seen. And so the question comes, well, how do you get that type of faith? You know, how do you attain that? And so then in Romans 10, verse 17, it gives us an answer. And it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the foundation. That's the foundation of faith, God's word and what he has said in his word. God's spoken word, God's word read, God's word heard, give us what we need to live a life of faith. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 38, and this is from the New American Standard also, that New American Standard was a Bible I was pretty much raised up on when I first got saved. And so a lot of verses that I had memorized were in the New American Standard. And so when I wrote down some of these, I actually referred back to that particular translation. But that verse says, my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God wants us to live a life of faith. And as far as the thought that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, God has given us countless, countless, countless promises that we can hold on to and trust him to fulfill. And one of my favorite promises that I hold on and claim oftentimes is in Philippians 4, verse 19. And that says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. And I can't tell you the number of times that God has fulfilled that promise, you know, from jobs to relationships to material needs and so on. And it's a blessing to know that God is faithful and that we can be assured that he will keep his word. Now, as for the evidence of things not seen, I have a little story that I want to tell you related to that. And it was from when I lived in Ohio, which is where I got saved. So right after I got saved, that night, you know, I went to bed, and even when I prayed, God blessed me just to really see the prayer as come alive, basically, where I understood it for the first time. You know, as a habit, I would pray the Lord's Prayer from a child. You know, my mom and my dad, they had taught us to say the Lord's Prayer. And so out of habit, I prayed that again the night that I got saved. And when I prayed it, boy, it came alive. And I understood it, you know, what it really meant. So anyway, I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. And I was laying there in bed. As I lay there in bed, I heard an airplane flying overhead. It was still, you know, slightly dark, you know. But I heard the airplane. And even though I couldn't see the airplane, I could hear it. And so I knew it was there because I could hear it. And as I lay there, the thought came to me, says, well, this is how it is with God now. You know, even though you can't see me, you can hear me. And you can know that I'm there because you can hear me. So that was a tremendous blessing. And from that point on, God used different things to speak to me. Even though I might not be able to see the actual thing, God would use different things to speak to me. And for me, that is the evidence of things not seen. And then also, you know, there's another example just with the wind. You know, even though we can't see the wind blowing, we know it's there because sometimes we can hear it, and then other times we see the effect of it. And from the trees bending from a strong wind blowing, or the leaves rustling from a gentle breeze blowing them, we have evidence of things not seen because we can see the effect of it, or we can hear the effect of it. And so those things for me relate to the evidence of things not seen. And those are things that even though we can't see it, we can believe in it because we see the effect of it. And then I want to move on a little bit and talk a little bit about being in the faith. And there's an introduction into the faith when we first put our trust in Jesus. And when we believe that Jesus died for us and paid the price for our sins, we can receive him into our lives to be the Savior and Lord and the one who's in charge of our lives. And there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that I'd like to read, and you're welcome to read along if you want, but it's Ephesians chapter 2, it's verses 1 through 10. So you can turn there if you would like. And it reads, "As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so it just, that is a good example of how we entered into the faith, and just how by the grace of God, by the gift of God, he blessed us to come into that relationship with him. So let's move on a little bit to walking and growing in faith. And a scripture that is often quoted, and it's actually an amazing scripture. It's actually in Galatians 2, verse 20. And there, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." And Paul says he is living his life by faith and trusting God for all things in his life, all things that he's going through. Paul is putting his faith in Jesus. And while this needs to be our attitude as well, God knows that we can't do it in our own strength. And God is in the process through his Holy Spirit of teaching us to allow him to be in charge of our lives and in everything that we do. And, you know, it's amazing that that God is patient with us, and that he knows what we need when we need it. And he leads us like a shepherd, like it says in Psalms 23. So then another aspect of walking and growing in faith is fighting in our hearts and minds for what we believe. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so walking in faith is a fight. You know, the world is constantly bombarding us with things to believe in, to get us to conform to its mold and its way of living, its way of thinking. So we need to read and know God's word in order to live a life that is pleasing to him. Because as we read his word, that gives us opportunity. As we talked about earlier, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we read his word, study his word, that gives us ammunition to fight against the things of this world, the thoughts of this world. And by his grace, we are able to stand in our faith. And then the final aspect of walking and growing in faith is knowing that your faith will be tested. And so I'd also like to read this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And once again, if you would like, you're welcome to turn there. I'll read it and you can follow along. 1 Peter 1 and verses 3 through 7. And it reads, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And that particular passage, you know, it talks about our faith being of more value than gold. And because gold will perish. And so I thought about that a little bit. I was like, well, Lord, well, why is our faith of more value than gold? And one of the thoughts that I had is just the fact that our faith brings us into a relationship with him. And our faith will be something that has an effect on our entire eternity. You know, so it's of more value to have faith than gold. You know, so if somebody comes up to you and offers you, well, look, let me give you $1 million and you can drop your faith. Keep your faith. Hold on to your faith. You know, and because it's of more value than gold, which will perish. And, you know, Peter said the proof of our faith or the genuineness of our faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And our faith has been tested in fire. After our faith has been tested in fire, it will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at his coming. And that praise and glory and honor will come from God Himself. As we hold on to our faith and trust Him in this life and allow Him to lead us in this life, at the end, God will give us praise and glory and honor. And just like I'm sure many of you have heard, where it says, you know, when people enter into heaven, they're hoping to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so as we're faithful to hold on to God's truth and live a life of faith that is pleasing to Him, God will be able to welcome us and to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And, you know, also, too, I heard a little story about gold. And like when a goldsmith is refining gold, he places it in a fire, in a pot or a kettle, and he heats it up. And as he heats it up, the impurities burn off. And so he'll do that several times. You know, he'll heat it up and let impurities burn off. And then he'll look again and he'll heat it up and let the impurities burn off. And then the way that he knows that all the impurities have been burned out is he will look into the pot and he's able to see the reflection of his face. And in the same way, God is putting us into the fire. He's allowing us to be tested. He's allowing our impurities to be burned off. And as those impurities burn off and God looks into the pot, He's able to see the reflection of His face. And that's what He's doing in each one of our lives. He is making us more like Him each day. And so God is taking us through the process of making us more like Him. And that's basically what I had to share with you today. I know it is a little short compared to some sermons, but our dearest sister Janice Watley, she said, "Well, whenever Gary speaks, he's gonna say what he gotta say and he's getting out of there." So by the grace of God, I have said what I was intending to say, and I'm ready to get out of here. So I hope that that God has used something that was shared today to meet a need in your life, to be a blessing to you. And like I said, I am just thankful to be a part of this body. So many wonderful men and women of God who love God and who serve God and work together. And, you know, even as I was preparing this week, Brother Don sent me a message of encouragement that he was praying for me. Sister Grace sent me a word of encouragement that knocked my socks off. I was chewing on that the rest of the week. You know, her encouragement was, you know, "I'm coming to you with confidence, knowing that I have the full measure of Christ's blessings, to have His full measure of blessing that He wanted to give." So I'm hoping and praying that God was able to give the full measure of His blessing today. So that's all I have. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then the worship team is coming back up. Okay. So, Father, we thank you again for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, Lord. Thank you that you have given us your word. You've given us your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are in us to will and work for your good pleasure. Lord, thank you that we can look forward, Lord, to what you have in store for us. We can look forward to the day that we will be with you and we will see you face to face. And Lord, I thank you for the grace even to share even the things that you placed on my heart. Lord, I pray you would use them to encourage and just to be a blessing to those who were in attendance. So we just commit the rest of our time to you. And we pray and thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.